So many of us have tables on the brain this week. We will be sitting at tables. I don't know what your Thanksgiving table is going to look like, if it look anything like this. We are headed to Charlotte, North Carolina. My youngest daughter, Sarah, just bought a house down there in the spring, and she is hosting for the very first time, and we are delighted to go down. Our other daughter from Florida will be up with her husband, and her boyfriend will be there. The boyfriend's family will be there. We're staying with her boyfriend's family, or parents, who we've never met, and a VRBO rental in the neighborhood. So pray for us this week. Should be fun and interesting. But we are excited to be sitting at a table, and many of you will be feasting at tables too. They might be informal. If you're down south, you can actually eat outside. We don't have. It might be that we're praying around tables, and it would look something like this week. Or maybe it'll be a really fancy table. Or maybe it'll be more like a messy table. I think most of our tables get a little messy, sometimes with food and sometimes just get messy because all the people and chaos and fun and conversation that's there. Jesus talked about tables and sat at tables quite regularly over the course of his ministry. As a matter of fact, one of the things that got him in trouble on a regular basis was who he was eating with. He was constantly criticized for eating with the wrong kind of people, for gathering with the tax gatherers and the sinners. It didn't seem to bother him much, and he continued to do it. He continued to welcome people to his table, continued to go into the homes of those who would invite him in, and he talked about the kingdom of God in table language a lot. It's one of the common methods of his teaching. And so in this story, from Luke chapter 14, we have first a conversation that begins and a little teaching that leads into a parable. He turns to the host. He says, next time you put on a dinner, he's at a dinner. He says, next time you put on a dinner, invite the people who can't invite you back. Don't just invite your rich friends. Don't just invite the people who you kind of have a reciprocal relationship with. Make sure you include the people at the margins, the misfits, the outcasts at your table. And you'll experience and you will be a blessing. Do you hear that mutuality in that comment? When we invite people to our table, we both bless them and we bless ourselves in these relationships. And Jesus says that's what happens when you broaden your table, when you widen your table, when you make a big messy table that everyone can come to. You will be a blessing and you will offer a blessing to someone else. Now that triggers a response, and somebody says, how fortunate the one who goes to eat in God's kingdom. And Jesus quickly says, well, one, not just one. He goes on to talk about just how big this table is. He tells that parable. We know this parable, right? About a big feast that this man is throwing. So he invites all these people to his table, and they all began to beg off and all began to make excuses. What were their excuses? Can't come because I've got new land to tend to. I've got five teams of oxen that I've got to tend to. I got to get home to my wife. Now, that's not a bad answer, by the way. That's you can use that one. That's legitimate. But all these other commitments, right? They're being invited to a feast, and they all have reasons why they can't come, or at least excuses why they can't come. And so the man, never content to leave his table empty, says then to his servant, go out. Go into the city streets, the alleys, collect everyone who looks like they need a square meal, everybody on the margins, everyone on the fringes. Invite them in. And so the servant does that. And he comes back and reports again. He says, I've done that now, but there's still more room. The master says, then go to the country roads, whoever you find. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party. It's not that the man is excluding them. They've excluded themselves. They've turned down the invitation. You see, there's a two-sided thing going on here. There is this gracious invitation that goes out wider and wider and wider each time. That's like the love of God in this world. It is this gracious invitation that even includes people like you and me. It's an invitation that has your name on it and your name on it and your name on it. And we have the opportunity to say, yes, I want to be part of this kingdom. I want to be part of your work in the world, God. I want to be part of this inclusive family. And that's the great news. But it requires a response. It doesn't just happen on its own. It's free, no strings attached, but we have to step up and claim it. We have to say yes to God's yes to us. We have to say yes to God's yes to us. And if we don't, then we find ourselves not even enjoying a bite at that table. We've been setting some fine tables here lately at this church. Many of you were part of Winter Relief, or at least you knew that Winter Relief was going on, and it's one of the most privileged and bittersweet weeks of the year for me to be sitting at table with these guests and friends whose stories are full of hurt and pain and heartbreak. But there is so much love and compassion mixed in as well, and there is so much of our common humanity that is there. And so you did laundry and you made food and we served whether we were young or older. We provided nurses who would check blood pressure and provide for medications, and we prayed for our guests and we cooked outside for our guests. We had a cookout on last Sunday and we sang with and for our guests, and we even played bingo with our guests. The kids were the ones doing the calling of the numbers. It was so cool to see them walk one by one to the microphone, call out, B13. And there was a lot of love being poured out and a lot of hospitality being extended, but it was all about this thing that Jesus said, that when you act as a blessing, you will also be blessed. The blessings were flowing back and forth at this table, which was full of kids passing out cookies. Don't you want to be part of a table like that? But what's really amazing about the week is not just the food and the laundry and all the stuff that gets done, all the hard labor that gets done, but it's the relationships that form. It's these bonds that form. It's these connections over table conversation. Some of them are lasting relationships. We've seen some of these guests year after year, and we continue the conversation. Some people, like Pam, she heads up the whole Winter Relief project for House of Hope, and she's part of our congregation. She does that now all season long. And I think of the dignity that we extend to these friends and our guests. This man who I struck up a conversation with, I printed out a picture for him, and I gave it to him. He said, can you send that to me digitally? I want to make a print and put it in a frame for my mom for Christmas. And I just wonder when somebody last took his picture just to take his picture. But the dignity and the love and the courage and the compassion that was flowing both ways, our guests to us and back and forth, it's a sacred table to be part of. A sacred table. I was also at another kind of table this week. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, just for a two-week conference. Some of you may have heard the United Methodist Church is struggling on the issues of human sexuality. You may have heard about that. And there are forces in our church, and there are possibilities that we as a church may go in different directions, a more conservative church and a more progressive church and a church in the middle somewhere. And there are all kinds of models that the Council of Bishops are considering. This commission on the way forward is putting them forth. And there is a group of clergy and lay people who are meeting in Atlanta this week, Adam Hamilton and Mike Slaughter and some big churches from all over the country and some young voices in the mix. And there are people on either end of the spectrum who are sort of lining up and ready to bolt. And then there's this group called Uniting Methodists, that are bold enough to believe that progressives and traditionalists can maybe still get along and love each other, even if we don't agree on the interpretation of Scripture, even if we don't even agree on this important issue about the inclusion of the LGBTQI community in our church, even if we have some differences. Is there a center that will help us hold together and love each other and be in mission together? Because that group believes that we can do a lot more together than we can apart. And so I want to be part of that middle group that seeks to hold the church together, even in hard conversation. Sacred table. How big is our table? Is it big enough to include even theological difference, even different ways to come at the Bible, even different understandings of this? And then I got to be at a really fun table yesterday. I was down, Isaac's shaking his head, he remembers these days. I was down at Camp Letts in Edgewater with our youth. And one of the things that Lee does so well with our youth, and she's been doing for years, is she knows how to set a big table. She knows how to create a space for our youth to come into, whether they are the most popular kids at school or whether they are the kids that just sort of keep to themselves, whether the kids that are drawn to the sciences or whether the sports or to the music or whatever. As they're finding out who they are being told that every single one of them is a beloved child of God. And that there's room for them at the youth group table. There's room for them at the MYF table. There's room for them in this church. There's room for them at God's table. And I'm so proud to be a church where we welcome and provide this space for our youth to say the table is big enough for you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, you have a place at God's table. It's fun to hang out there. I was sad to have to leave and go make a hospital visit yesterday. And we as a church, we've been talking about what is the center that holds us together. You know, because we're not all alike, are we? We have different opinions. We come from different places. We have some Democrats. We have some Republicans, I'm told. We might be a little mixed on that front. We have people who have a lot of resources, and we have people who have fewer resources, and we have a lot of things that are different about us, but we have this common core, we say. We want to be a people that are all about loving, serving, and following in the way of Jesus Christ. And is that a big enough table to hold us together? It's a table that looks like this, a place where we welcome openly and when we speak honestly, listen deeply to each other, where we forgive completely, where we give generously. We love unconditionally and serve joyfully, and we follow faithfully. That's the kind of table we want to set for others and be for ourselves. Oh, and there's the finances thing. You knew I had to get there today, didn't you? Last week, on your way out of church, you got a brochure that looks like something like this, our 2017 financial picture, a narrative budget. If you didn't get one last week, there are more of them at the welcome desk today. And what we did was we laid out for you all of the different pieces of our common ministry, missions, education, community life, our worship, our pastoral care, and we said this is the big whole, this big pie that we all support and invest ourselves in because we're included in this mission of Christ together. Look at that. Look at what we as a congregation are spending through our resources, through our apportionments and through our local missions and our volunteers and missions and our ASP, all of that. Would you look at what we're spending beyond ourselves? $415,000. And you make that possible because of your generosity and because of your giving, and you're going to make that possible again as we move into a new year. We're inviting you to make commitments, but not only commitments of your money, we're asking you to invest yourselves in this community, to worship regularly, to come to small groups, to find ministries that you can serve and give yourself away, bless so you can be a blessing to someone else and find yourself blessed in the process. And it all comes down to this, friends, RSVP. You got to respond. This grace is offered again and again and again to all of us. I got to warn you, though, when you respond to Jesus, it's not a dinner for two. Oh, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. But it's also, as Tina says in the video, a very public relationship. There are a whole bunch of other people waiting at that table, too. Some that we would choose to be there with us and some that we would not. God's grace is just that indiscriminate and that radical and that loving. So today we invite you to respond to your commitments to follow Jesus here and in this church. All this table stuff started for me. I was reading a book called A Bigger Table, Building Messy, Authentic, and Hopeful Spiritual Community, written by a pastor down in North Carolina. He's been at several churches, he went to art school, he's been a lot of different places, he's had a varied journey, and he talks about building a big table and learning how big the table could be and should be in the church, the one that I'd later give everything to build as a pastor. I feel like part of my job as one of your pastors is to build a big table for all of us here and for all of God's children. It was the gathering place where strippers and gay caterers and atheists all, not one, not some, but all had a standing invitation not to receive charity from someone morally superior, not to serve as a religious project to be converted and fixed, but as welcome dinner guests of a hospitable Jesus. Welcome dinner guests of a hospitable Jesus who modeled what happens when we break bread with the broken. We find ourselves there too. We find ourselves at this table. Friends, there's a big table waiting for all of us. I invite you to claim your spot and to extend the feast to others too. You're included. You're called to be intentional, a generous margin. We've asked that you invest yourself, and today we are reminding that you are invited. What a sacred privilege that is. Won't you RSVP with your life? Amen. Today we're going to take our offering a little bit differently. We're going to take our offering and invite you to come and actually place it on the altar today. You can place it along with your prayer cards, your attendance cards, today's offering, and if you are ready, and if you've brought with you or filled out in church today a commitment card, would you place those in these baskets here today as well? If you're not able to come up, there will also be baskets available to you as you leave church this morning. Won't you come? The table has been set. Thanks be to God that you're invited and I'm invited, but don't expect a dinner for two. Amen.